Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, everybody, open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody, all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Have you had an opportunity to tell Him, my hallelujah belongs to you, Lord? Come on. Come in and sit at the table because the feast of the Lord is going on. Tell Him. He deserves it.
Everything I owe you, Lord, it belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Y'all got it now. Come on, say it. All of the glory, Lord, belongs to you.
All of the glory belongs to you.
All of the glory, Lord, yeah.
All of the glory belongs to you.
Everybody lift your hands right here and say, you deserve it.
You deserve it.
When we began to tell God He deserved all of the glory, when we began to tell Him all of our hallelujahs belong to Him, when we began to make Him the center of every single thing that we do and every single thing that we're going to do, then that's when He is the God of our lives. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. For this is the day the Lord has made, and I shall rejoice and be glad in it. I want you to begin to say, I shall rejoice and be glad in it. You know, the enemy don't want you to rejoice. The enemy does not want you to rejoice and be glad in it, because he will attack every single thing that you have planned, every single thing that you have thought. The enemy don't want the joy of the Lord to be your strength. So I want to encourage you today, begin to tell God He deserves all of the glory. Tell Him He deserves all of your praise.
You deserve it.
You deserve it.
I cry, Lord,
because I'm telling you, God is setting you up. He's setting you up for a blessing. Tell him. He deserves it.
To you. Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the stage.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Began to tell God he deserves it. Submission is godly. Lord, I commit myself to you and the guidance of your Holy Spirit. I submit to you all that I am, all of my gifts and talents, and even the calling that you have on my life. I give it back to you. I die to all of that, to all of it, so that you might resurrect me again, Lord God. Arise in me. I commit to you, Lord God, the ministry that you have given to me to do. I desire always that you be in the midst of every single thing that I do, that you're in the midst of the ministry, because the ministry is yours, Lord God, not mine, Lord. I want to see only what you would have me to see, God. I desire to hear only what you would have me to hear and to sense, only what you know I need to have revealed to me. I want to speak what you have for me to speak under your direction, under your guidance, Lord God. God, I ask you to give me an ear to hear and that I may fully discern your voice, Lord God. Make me worthy of your people's trust, God. May my word and my attitude be as gentle or as firm as yours, Lord God. Teach me about you, Lord God, that I might correctly represent you to your people who are called by your name. Keep me in your love, Lord God, and don't let me wander from you. I love you, Lord, and I love your people. Oh, God, work your work in me that I might give you the glory, because you deserve all of the glory. In the mighty hallelujah name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. I say glory, glory, glory. Glory to your wonderful, majestic name. Amen and amen. Well, I want to welcome every single person that has submitted their lives to God. Every single person that know that this is the day the Lord has made and you have chosen to rejoice and be glad in it. For the Lord is doing something even in this. Amen. He's always up to something. He's always taking us to a place where we can grow in him. Amen. So it's nothing that happens to us that God is unknowing of. Amen. So I want to thank you again for just tuning in, and those that are faithful to Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing, where we sow into others so that they may grow and become more like Christ. Well, I want to welcome you to another teaching, a dynamic teaching that came straight from heaven. We're talking about strategies. Amen. Spiritual strategies and warfare. Because understanding that every single thing that happens, it doesn't slip past God. And there is a spiritual realm and an earthly realm. And we should operate in both. So we've been talking about how to know when it's God and when it's not, and becoming a part of God's army. And if you like to catch up, you can go to our website, blogtalkradio.com/KBDI, and you can listen to all the previous teachings so that you may be up to par to where we are on today. We talked about the articles of war. Amen. We're talking about enlisting in God's army. What does it take? We always say that we're part of God's army. We always say that. But then when the war starts getting started, we run for refuge. God says, soldier up. It's time to fight. Amen. So we're fighting this good fight of faith. Yes, when we begin to fight, guess what? All hell start breaking loose. Amen. Everything start happening. And when these things start happening, understand that God will be nigh unto you when we are nigh unto him. Amen. So last week we talked about one of the keys from the article of war was repentance, is repentance. In the natural world, when a soldier joins the army, he must deny his previous allegiance, and he must take an allegiance to the army that he's in. We talked about the army of God, and we also talked about the kingdom of Satan. Amen. And then we made our enlistment. So I want to encourage you to make your calling and your election sure, that you're not on both sides of the fence. Amen. So we talked about when you go to the war of God, when you are in this battle, that we must walk in repentance. Amen. Because the importance of repentance, it is a command of God that we repent. Amen. God commands us that we walk in repentance. It's important, Acts 17:30, and it's necessary to avoid spiritual death. Yes, 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 Luke 13:3. But ye, except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. So repentance is important. It's necessary for eternal life. So we talked about repentance is necessary for forgiveness. Amen. God cannot forgive your sins unless you repent. Amen. And the wages of sin is death. So repentance is necessary. It's necessary. So we can't go out and go into war and we're walking in unrepentance. Amen. Because when you're walking in unrepentance, that's like not having your armor up. That's like not being prepared. So you're saying, I'm ready to fight. But yet and still, you're walking in unforgiveness and you haven't repented. So the enemy used that against you. So it's very important that we forgive those that have despitefully used us. We forgive, we turn from our wicked ways. We must walk in repentance. Amen. Repent. John was going around talking about repent. Amen. Because the enemy will use that against us. He knows that there's sin in the camp, and he will use that against us. So every single day we ask God, show us any error of our way so that we may repent. Glory to God. And then I'm getting you up to part where we left off on last week. It's necessary for forgiveness in Acts 2:38. And the Bible says, Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. And this is one of my favorite parts, that ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, Acts 2 and 38. So the gift of the Holy Ghost, it's a gift. It is God's desire for every one of his children that we have the gift of the Holy Ghost. God does not want anyone to experience the spiritual death. I want you to listen. God does not want anyone to experience the spiritual death of eternal separation from God. See, the spiritual death of eternal separation from God is hell. Amen? So when we are spiritually dead, the enemy can torment us. And he'll torment us with negativity. He'll torment us with unforgiveness. He'll torment us to make us feel we're not worthy. Amen. He'll torment us and make us feel like God can't use us. We become spiritually dead. So what our goal is spiritual strategies of warfare. So how do we fight in the spirit? These are things and these are tools that we must use in order to be fortified, hallelujah, to be fortified and ready to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I'm just trying to bring you up to par. The Lord is long-suffering to us. He's not willing that any should perish. I cannot. He said he came not to call the righteous. See, some said, I'm the righteous. But he said he came for sinners to repent. We have to remember that. So if we have a call on our life for ministry, the call is that sinners will come to repent. So we don't want to be hard on no one. But we want to correct them in the way the word would correct them. And that's Luke 5 and 32. All righty. Amen, amen, amen. It is necessary to enter God's kingdom. These are tools. We have to walk in forgiveness. We have to avoid spiritual death. See, sometimes you can be spiritually dead and you don't realize that you lost the zeal for God. The enemy will take that away from you if you're not careful. So we have to get into our praise and worship. We have to get into our word. We have to feed our spirit. Surround yourself with people that believe in you. Surround yourself with people that celebrate you. Surround yourself with people that's going the same way that you're going. Amen. These are tools that God wants us to use so that we may be made better. For the kingdom's sake. Amen, amen, amen. And I believe, hallelujah, I believe this is where we left off on last week. We're talking about being equipped for the master's use. See, when you're walking in unforgiveness, it's like having your front door wide open. An enemy can come in because you left the gate open. You know the old saying, who let the dogs out? Roof, roof, roof. Remember that? When you leave your door open, the enemy can come in. So we have to shut it tight. So we forgive those that despitefully use us. We love them. You bring the Bible says, bring a gift you know, they done hated on you and you're bringing them a gift. Amen. It's tools. It's necessary so that we may grow and fight this good fight of faith. So we're in the army and we're enlisted and we have made our call and election sure. We're not lukewarm anymore. See, when you're lukewarm, the Bible says God will spit you out. It's not a good taste. You know, cold or hot. You know how sometimes you say, I want some ice water, and then maybe you want some hot tea. But I don't know too many people that would like some lukewarm water. I mean, maybe for your stomach's sake, or you might be going through something in your body. But normally we want something cold or we want something hot. Why? Because our attributes are like our daddy, amen? So we either in or we either out. And that's what the Bible means by making your calling and election sure. So these are spiritual strategies. So your things start happening and you're not moved by Satan's devices. Why? Why aren't you moved? Because you made your call and election sure. So when these things start happening, you understand that it's not about you. You understand that it's not happening because of your goodwill, because you're so great and grandiose. You're so great. It's not because of you. It's because of who you stand for. So the enemy want to get you all off course. He gets them moving around and all in your mix so he can get you off course. But you have to have an eagle eye. You know what I mean? It's like you sitting, you know how the eagle is? The eagle sitting up there looking. And then when he go for his prey, that eagle has already cased things out. So you're being watchful. As the Bible said, you're praying, but you're watching. You're looking. You know, you got your eyes open. It's part of the strategy that's needed to fight this good fight of faith. So we have to give God time, just like we give other things time, give relationships time. So we give God time. So you may say Monday at 5, that's our time, Lord. Tuesday at 7, that's our time, God. He's a jealous God. So it's important as minister of the gospel, kingdom builders, that we make time for God. Time was just you and the Father. Why? Because if you want to build anything, it has to have your time. When you become part of the kingdom of God, or when you enlist in the army, the first thing they need is your time. Amen. Glory to God. So let's pick up. We're going to talk about conversion. Conversion. You know, just truly being converted. Because I remember when I wanted to be baptized and I was a child. And why did I want to be baptized? Because I saw everybody else being baptized. And one of the things that I was told is I could not function in the church unless I was baptized. Amen. And then I was told that that's a sign that I stand for Christ. So we're talking about being converted. Being converted. So back then we were taught that when you get baptized, conversion comes. But when you ask for forgiveness of sin, your experience normally represents conversion. What does conversion mean? What does it mean? Conversion means to turn. you know, you make a decision. I'm not going to do that again. I'm not going there anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. Conversion, when it is usually in connection with biblical repentance, it means to turn from the wrong way to the right way. So you leave the kingdom of Satan and you join the kingdom of God. You cannot be enlisted in both armies. Amen. Amen. You cannot have allegiance to both armies. You cannot love two masters. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot have two wives or two husbands. You know, you're going to have to make a decision. You make a decision. Let me tell you what the Bible says. In Luke 1 and 6, and we're talking about conversion, Luke 1 and 16, I'm sorry. And the Bible says, and many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Listen. Luke 1 and 16. And I'm going to give you a couple other scriptures in Acts 11 and 21. And I'm going to make it plain because we're talking about conversion. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. That word turned, we're going to keep hearing it. Amen. Acts 9 and 35. We're looking for the word turn. Turn. I want you to turn around. You're facing another direction when you make that turn. Acts 9 and 35. See, old things have passed away, and now everything become new when you are truly converted. Why? Because what you used to love to do, there's no excitement in it anymore. And the Bible says, and all that dwelled in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. We're talking about turning things around. You may not like the results that you have gotten thus far. But when we begin to turn, you know what just came to me, when we turn from our wicked ways, and I hear you saying my ways not wicked, but if our ways does not line up with the kingdom of God, then it has to line up with the kingdom of Satan. One or the other, we make a choice. Conversion is turning from the darkness of sin to the light of God's righteousness. I'm going to say it one more time. Conversion is turning from the darkness of sin to the light of God's righteousness. See, God hates sin. So we need to know what sin is. Sin is against the light of God's righteousness. So sin begins to separate me from God. Why? Because God hates sin. So, and you put yourself in the equation. Anything that you hate or anything that you dislike, what do? You separate yourself from it. Why? Because you hate it. Well, God's the same way. If sin is there, you can believe that God is going to pack his bags. He's out. Why? Because sin, the wages of sin, is death. And death is the last enemy that God shall destroy. So sin and death, enemy to God. We're going somewhere. We're talking about strategies, spiritual strategies for warfare. things that have to be eliminated so that we may be fortified, so that we may be steadfast, so that we may be unmovable, always, always, always abounding in the works of the Lord. Yes, things are going to happen, yes. But if we steadfast, we are movable like a tree planted by the rivers of water, we shall not be moved. The church of God is marching. Why? Because the church of God is in you. COVID came, but you're still standing. Because you're a tree and you're planted. You're deeply rooted. Amen? In Acts 26 and 18, and I'm giving you these verses because all of these verses are representing conversion. You know, sometimes we feel like, oh, yeah, I love the Lord, you know, and I'm saved and I'm on fire for Jesus and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Let someone make you angry. We switch camp. And we may not ever ask them to forgive us. Why? Because the eyes of our understanding are not enlightened. We ask God to enlighten the eyes of our understanding so that we may see when we have been, when there's error in our ways. But Acts 26 and 8, to turn, I'm going to read the B clause, to turn them from darkness to light. So if you got a light in the room, click the switch. You see darkness. And some of the things you might look for, you may have to go to the rough side of the mountain to find it. You might walk into a pole or a chair or a table because it's dark. You're going to make a whole lot of mistakes. But if you cut the light on, I can see clearly now. The darkness is gone. Listen, it's turning from darkness to light. See, God will give wise counsel around you. Why? Why would he do that? He does that so that we can have a successful way. There's safety in the presence of wise counsel. Okay, let me stay on course. Acts 26 and 18, to turn them from the power of Satan to God. See, Satan has power. He's not all power, but he has power. And he will take a grip on you where you may not even realize that that is Satan operating through you. He gives you negative thoughts, and then what happens when you have negative thoughts? It's obvious. You begin to have negative words. And when you produce those negative words, you're creating a negative atmosphere. And when there's a negative atmosphere, guess what happens? Activation. Things become negative. Negative things takes away. Amen? You know how they say, my husband, when he would do surveillance or, you know, he would do what he do, or should I say do what he does, and when it was something just wasn't going right, he'll say negative. Negative. So we have to know and keep your eyes open for negativity. Because negativity takes away. It doesn't build. Negativity does not encourage. Negativity is not converted. Negativity does what negativity does. It takes away. So your ears and your eyes have to be open for negative words because we're talking about spiritual strategies. See, these are little ikes that destroy the vine. These are things that we may not pay too much attention to, but you don't realize that it's cutting down you little bit at a time. These negative thoughts, negative words. So what do? It's called mind over matter. You control what you think. You make a decision. So when you think something negative, feed something positive to the negativity, and I guarantee you that negative thought will cease. Listen, it is turning from false God to the true and living God. Let me tell you what the scripture says. Ye shall turn from these vanities unto the living God. Things seem like it's so good. It seems like it feels good. You know, my doctor told me, if it tastes good, spit it out. Listen, we must know that everything that tastes good or feels good may not be good for you. You have to be fortified. You have to know what's God and what is not God. If God can't go there, then neither should you. If God could not go with you, you shouldn't go. Because guess what? When God can't go, normally there's another God there. Those who have ears hear what Christ is saying to the church. This is good to me. We're talking about the importance of being converted. Conversion. True conversion must accomplish repentance. Repentance and being converted goes together. So you must turn from wrong to right. And I think we have seasoned listeners on the line, but it's necessary in order to enter into the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted, and this is one of the best parts, and become as a little child. Children are so innocent. You know, they win my heart. I love them. Their innocent thoughts, their innocent ways. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become empty. Unless you become as a little child and be converted. See, it saves us from spiritual death. And I talked about this last week. Of spiritual death. See, he which converted the sinner from the error of his ways, ye shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. That's James 5 and 20. See, it's necessary for the blotting out of sin. So we all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. So what do? We have to repent. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 3 and 19. It's important that we understand we all have been like the prodigal son. You know, we all did our thing. We all went our way. We all made our choice. We all made a decision. And saying, you know, I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's that prodigal son mentality. That's that prodigal daughter mentality. And when I say prodigal son, prodigal daughter, I'm talking about prodigal son, God's prodigal son. But the thing about God, he's so open. You know, he don't hold against us. He said, come. I'm married to the backslider. Come. You know the story. You know the story. And Jesus told about the prodigal son. It's in Luke 15, 11 and 24. And you get time, I want to encourage you to read it. This young man, he left his father's house and he went to a far land and through sin, and he took his inheritance and wasted everything that he owned. And after all the money was gone, everything was gone, he realized the condition that he was in. He was hungry. He was lonely. He was in rags. And guess what? Guess what he was doing? He was tending pigs for a job. See, he made an important decision his way. He did his own thing. Amen. He had it his way. He said, I will arise and go to my father's house. Why did he do that? Because he realized the error of his way. Inward decision, it resulted in a change in his outward action. So he went home to his father, and what did he do when he got there? Just what we're talking about. He seeked forgiveness. And that's our thing. Don't be too big, bold, and proud not to say, forgive me. It's just words. And then it may not even be for you. It might be for someone else. Tell them, forgive me. It might heal them. Be the bigger person. So when a prodigal son came home, guess what? His daddy was so happy, he threw a party. Because the love is unconditional. So when we repent, it's the change of mind. Amen. We're talking about being able to fight in this spiritual warfare. And this is the basics that a lot of times we leave out. You know, we say, oh, we're going to go and we're going to pray. We're going to intercede and we're going to do some deliverance. We're going to fast and we're going to do all this. We're going to pray in tongues. We're going to do all of that. Amen. And we have all this unforgiveness in our heart. So we're talking about being fortified, changing our mindset so that God can use us. And when we speak a thing, it's established. So we understand that we must repent and we must be converted by changing the way we think and changing the way we talk and changing the way we act. Keep your mind open. So when you hear negativity that's tearing anyone down, that God give you a word that you can begin to rebuild. Amen. We're building this thing. And let me give you one more scripture about being converted, and then we're going to move on to justification and sanctification. We're going to talk about justification, and then I think my next subject is salvation. We got to get that first. Amen. Luke 15 and 20. The records show how the young man got up and he left his old life, and then he went to his father, and guess what happened? He started a new life. This is called conversion. So old things have passed away. Everything began with new. So everything that he did in his past, he began a whole new lifestyle. So man is like the prodigal son. When I say man, I mean mankind. In our sinful condition, when we turn away from sin and we turn to God, then we begin to face heaven. And then that's when heaven can be our home. So every step that he take is a step away from Satan to God. See, this is a major decision that we must make. We make it. And guess what? When we make it, we can come to ourselves. And then we come to ourselves, guess what happens? We recognize the spiritual condition that we're in. So we have to make a decision, and guess what happens? When you make a decision, there's a result that will change our spiritual direction. Spiritual direction is truly changed. There's a peace that comes from God himself. And it's a peace that surpasses all understanding. Now, I'm not saying that you're not going to go through things. You are. Must Jesus suffer this cross alone and all the world go free? No. He said, if you're going to reign with me, you have to suffer with me. if you're going to hang with me, if you're going to be my ride or die, you got to go through this with me. Amen. I'm going to make you strong. I'm going to fortify you so that when things start happening, you're able to fight the good fight of faith. That you're not crumbling, running high. Why? Because you understand that it's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. Amen. I get so excited. I can't wait for us to be able to open our building and we touch and agree with heaven, and all of these many gifts and talents are manifested that the earth can be blessed with your gift and your talent. Amen. Now, justification and salvation. See, understanding forgiveness and conversion is the beginning step. It's the basics. But these are two terms that the Bible relate to and kind of compare with repentance. These terms are justification. I want you to write it down. And salvation. See, God is the judge of all mankind. And when you're living in sin, guess what? You are condemned before God. Don't nobody have to judge you. You judge yourself. When you're living in sin, you're condemned before God. Okay, you don't want to believe me? Let me tell you what the Word says about it. The Bible says in John 3, and I believe it's verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Well, I hear you saying, well, I believe in God. Well, he said that if you believe in me, keep my commandments. Amen. Listen, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and man loveth darkness. Man love the error of his way. Man love the things of the world. Man loveth darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. I mean, it don't taste good, but I'm telling you, it's good for you. Amen. Amen. You know your parents gave you that castor oil, and to take it. You're like, oh, they want you to take it, and it tastes so nasty. But guess what? You start feeling better later. It get greater later. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. All of this is good for us. So when you repent from sin and you make the decision to turn from sinful ways, guess what happens? This establishes a true and a right relationship with God. See, this right and true relationship, or should I say the right standings before God, guess what? That's called justification. See, we think we are right with God. But the Bible clearly makes it plain. It's plain to have the light of God, understanding of what he wants, understanding of what he does not want from us. This right relationship is called justification. Amen. Amen. So, knowing ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. That is Romans 6, chapter 6, when I read 16. And verse 17 says, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. See, sometimes you don't realize, sometimes we run to sin. You know, we run to things that's going to tamper or damper our relationship with God. So if God can't go, I can't go. Sorry. And then verse 16, let me finish reading that one. That, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you, being then made free from sin, ye became the servant of righteousness. So you began to be drawn to what's right. And then you want to be around people that have a desire to do what's right. See, we are the righteousness of God, but it's because of Christ Jesus. So we're hidden behind Jesus Christ. So when you repent from sin, you make a decision to turn from sinful ways. That's when you are justified by repentance and conversion. Then you are saved from a life of sin, as well as the penalty of sin. Now, this is what it means to be saved and what the Bible is speaking of when the term salvation is used. Amen? So, this is what God wants us to do in order to become more like Him. Spiritual warfare is something that we have to do in this Christian walk. I'm going to talk about the biblical worldview of spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is what we deal with daily. We may not even know it. People come in your life and they'll do an impartation, and they may not even be planning on doing it. It's going to either be from God or it's going to be from Satan. And we're going to be drawn to one or the other. So we have to know how to shake off what's not God. If it's not God, we have to know how to shake it off. You know, if you get in a conversation with someone, and before the conversation is over, you feel in some kind of way, they made a spiritual deposit. And that spiritual deposit may have you feeling a little indifferent. See, when we get corrected by God, even when you leave that conversation, if you're being convicted, you're not feeling like you've been beat up. You're feeling like you need to be made better. It's a difference. I want to encourage you to know that God has need of you. It's not by accident that He is preparing you for the master's use. It's not by accident that you're drawn to the things of the kingdom. It's not by accident that you are on this line. There's a reason. God have need of you. There is maybe people connected to you that need what you have. So that's why we have to know when to hold them and when to fold them. We have to know who to let in our circle. We have to know who is not their time. Amen. There's people that's assigned to you. So in order to complete your mission, we have to be equipped. Amen. We have to be equipped so when they come, that we're ready for them, so that we can draw them in into the camp, that we can get them into the army of God so that they can win their battles, and they'll know what to do and how to do it and what's required. Amen. So when you are being fortified in the things of the kingdom and you're learning the spiritual strategies, it becomes part of your lifestyle. That's all you want to do. And then your prayer becomes, Lord, let me just serve your people. You know, you have a servant mentality. You begin to forget about you. Why? Because you understand that it's all about the kingdom. We're talking about spiritual strategies for warfare. And when we get to that part of warfare, actually, when things happen that you're not in the flesh, that you know how to tap into the spirit, and every single time you're going to win. See, the subject of spiritual warfare, we have to study it with the context of God's total purpose, right? So when we study it of God, and we study God's total purpose for redemption of sinful mankind, we have to keep in mind that our mission is to snatch people out of the enemy's mouth. Amen. So we can't snatch the enemy out of anybody's mouth if we're not fortified, if we're not equipped, and we're not qualified. Why? Because our flesh will react when things happen. And we can't help someone when we need help ourselves. Amen. See, we're going to study the parable of the sower and the tare among the wheat in Matthew 13. See, both of these parables, they concern the growth of the kingdom of God. And that occurs through the planting of God's word. So we get the word planted in us. Amen. And when the word is planted in us, guess what's going to come out of our mouth? The word. Because we'll be full of the word. And when things happen, you kick your toe, you're not cursing anymore. You might, holy Jesus, good God Almighty. See, those kind of words start coming out. Both of the parables that we're going to talk about is the picture, the warfare between the two kingdoms, with the battle center in the center of the redemptive purpose of God. So everything is about the redemptive purposes of God. So we're preparing things. We're getting things ready for when he comes back. Amen. That our election and calling is made sure, and that we're fighting a good fight of faith. So when things happen, we're not fighting in the natural anymore. We're fighting through faith. We fight for souls, the souls of men and women, boys and girls. And this is why authority over Satan was given to the disciples before they were sent out. So you got to know your authority. And when you know your authority, and you know who you are, then you get sent out to share the gospel. So what we're doing here at Kingdom Builders, we are licensing, we are ordaining minister and women and God of the gospel, so that when you go out, you're ordained, you're licensed, you're on fire for God, you're fortified, you're equipped, and you're not moved by Satan's devices. And when things happen, you got mentors, you got people that you can go to that's going to encourage you to get up, fight again. Because guess what? It's all about the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. See, Satan and his host of demons, they will war against you as you seek to win men to Christ and to bring them under the rulership of God. But what do we do? We are employing the scriptural strategies for spiritual warfare to help you to challenge the principle, to challenge the principalities, to challenge the powers of Satan, that you will rule over every individual that Satan has with the kingdom of God strategies. Amen. We're getting ready to fight. We're getting ready to strategically fight. So remember, in closing, we have to repent. And we have to be converted. That's going to result in justification and salvation. This is God's plan for induction into his army. Amen. So if you're not sure If you're not sure that you have been inducted into God's army, that tactical maneuver section that I taught about earlier, I want you to go back over it. Because in order to be welcome into the army of God, you got to make your welcome, your calling, election sure. Again, by faith, I welcome you to the army of God. Keep fighting a good fight of faith. You're going to always win. I'm telling you, you are going to always win. Keep using the strategies. Keep using the scripture. Keep giving God's time, giving him your time. Keep praying. Keep repenting. Keep forgiving people. Keep doing it. You're going to win. You're going to win now, and you're going to win later. Amen and amen. Glory to God. I get so excited because I am in anticipation. When he cracks the sky. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for tuning in because we're here every Wednesday at 5 p.m. Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we present men and women to the body of Christ, internet radio, at www.blogtalkradio.com/KBDI. Amen, amen. If you like what we're doing, we want you to go to the website, click follow, so that you can be notified of every event. And that's going to help us if you go and click follow. Our home office is area code 313-583-9739. And if you like what we're doing, go to www.giveify.com. That's GIVELIFY.com. Sow into the ministry so that you can help us to help others. We here are blessed to be a blessing. And I pray God's blessing over you and your family and every single thing that you do, every single thing that you touch, that you understand that the fire of God is in you. Amen. That you're not afraid, that you're full of faith, and that you understand that fear is false evidence appearing real. You're overcomer. So, Father, we thank you for this hour of power. And I ask you in the name of Jesus, God, that you would draw every single person at the sound of my voice, that they would not only hear you, that they would know you, and that they would be directed by your Holy Spirit. Father, let your angels saturate their beings, God. Father, everything that you have in your heart for them to do, that they would know it. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all of the praises and all of the honor. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen and amen. Well, again, we thank you, and I just want to bless you, and I want to tell you, keep fighting, because you are going to win. And in closing, tell God all your praises belong to him, and let your heart, just let your heart say yes. Amen. Everyone have a blessed, a terrific, and awesome rest of your day. And know, to be absent from the body, hallelujah, is to be present with the Lord. God bless everyone. And we'll be here tomorrow with Elder as he come forth. He's going to be talking about angels. God bless everyone. And we say good night. Without you, oh no.
your word.